Won't you find your place again in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 3. Well, I hope you're enjoying this book. What a book it is. And we're thrilled to be studying through it together as a church. And I'm thrilled to be preaching through it as your pastor. It's been a blessing and encouragement to my own heart. And I trust it'll encourage you and bless you as we travel through it. Nehemiah chapter 3, we'll read one verse of scripture, verse number 10 tonight, verse number 10. Believe it or not, this is our fourth message in the book of chapter 3 of Nehemiah. And as I told you, when I first read it, I thought, well, maybe this will take me 1 week, but it's taken me four. And it's packed full of stuff, and we give the Lord all the glory and all the praise for it. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 10. Next unto him repaired Jediah, the son of Haramath, even over against his house. Next unto him repaired Hatush, the son of Hashabniah. Again, I emphasize, aren't you glad you didn't live in the Old Testament days? Hashabniah, come here. Hasaniah, what in the world you doing, you know? No, I'm going to continue with the thought that we've been preaching the last three services on the work of God. The work of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to preach with understanding, clarity, compassion, and conviction. I pray, Lord, that you forgive my sins. And Lord, I am standing in need of you. I admit that. I know I've got to have you. I've got to have your power. Please help me. Please, please empower me with your spirit. Empty me of self. Forgive my sins. May the will of God be done here in a mighty way. And may you help us, God, as we preach, to preach with passion. And may, God, everything be taken in stride. And may these dear folks open their heart and receive your word. Help us all to say yes to whatever you've given us to do, I pray. Help us tonight, I beg of you. Please, defeat Satan and his evil spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The work of God is the work that you ought to give your life to. There's no doubt about it. And as I said this morning, we've come to chapter 3. And at first glance, it may seem like this chapter is monotonous. But throughout this chapter, there are so many wonderful thoughts concerning the work of God. Matter of fact, we've already given the purpose of the work of God last Sunday morning in verse number 1, that how the purpose is the glory of Almighty God. Secondly, we have noticed the pictures in the word, I'm talking about in the work of God, talking about all the gates and all the towers that were mentioned and the spiritual application that we learned last Sunday night. This morning, we began with the principles in and for the work of God. We gave you five of them this morning. Let me just tap them on the head. Principle number 1 this morning was that all of God's children can get involved. And if you remember, there were somewhere around 30, over 30 individuals named by name, around 15 groups of people, 7 different vocations. And the spiritual picture there is that there is a place in the work of God, building the wall of God, if you will, there's a place for every one of God's children. God wants all of his children to get involved. Secondly, we noticed this morning that leaders must set the example. And how Eliakim, which was the high priest, is mentioned first. And I believe that that's because the Lord made emphasis there. He mentioned him first for a reason to let us know that the leaders of the nation of Israel at this time were to get involved just like everybody else. Principle number 3 we looked at this morning was that some will not work in verse number 5. The nobles of the Tekoites would not put their hand to the work. And that goes to show that just like it is today, not only in this church, but all over America and around the world, everybody's not going to get involved. But I challenge you not to be one of those who are not going to put your hand to the work. Get busy for the glory of God. Principle number 4 this morning was that some do more than expected. And under that, we see that the nobles in verse 5 who would not put their hand to the work were of the group called the Tekoites. And yet the Tekoites in verse 27 repaired another piece, which goes to show that there's 3 lessons we learned there, that when some do not work, others must pick up the slack. It puts added pressure to other people because every piece of the wall is important. Secondly, we noticed under this that you can serve God no matter what everybody else does. These Tekoites had their nobles, their leaders, if you will, say, we're not going to work, but they didn't let that stop them. They got busy for God anyway. God's made the Christian life in such a way that if nobody else does anything, you can. Doesn't matter what anybody else does anyway. It matters what you do with the work of God and with the will of God. Thirdly, under this, I challenge you to become a second-mile Christian. Then the fifth major principle we looked at this morning, which is where we left off, is we saw that the work of God is a work for the family. And we saw that in verses 3 and 12, how the sons of Hasenaiah were helping to repair a piece of the wall. And then Shallum and his daughters were working together in verse number 12. Now, we pick up with point number 6 tonight, and we go from 6 through 10. Five more principles I want to give you tonight concerning the work of God. Again, let me emphasize to you that when I say the work of God, I'm talking about anything that is God's will for your life. It could be building a strong marriage. That's a work of God, because that's the will of God for your life. But in the work of the church, since we are at church tonight, and this is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, I'm the pastor, I am choosing to apply this book of Nehemiah to the work of the ministry. I'm talking about reaching other people for the cause of Jesus Christ. But you need to learn to apply it to your own specific needs, your marriage, your family, raising kids, whatever work God's given you to do, apply these same principles. But for our purpose, we're going to apply it to the wall of soul winning. In other words, there's something in this church that you can do on your piece of the wall to help reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Point number 6, number 1 tonight, but point number 6 completely, here it is: God's work begins at home. God's work begins at home. Notice in verse number 10 the language where it says, "And next unto them repaired Jediah the son of Haramath, even over against his house." Look at verse number 23. "After him repaired Benjamin and Hashem over against their house." We read on, "After him repaired Azariah the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house." Look at verse 28. The Bible says, "From above the horse gate repaired the priest, oh, everyone over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Emar, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zaleph." Another piece. "After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber." Do you see a repetition here? Over against his house, by his home, by his chamber. Here's what I'm trying to say. We see in these verses how many of these people built the part of the wall that was by their own homes. Now stay with me here. This is a great thought. This goes to show that it was important for these people to make sure that the enemy, get this, that the enemy could not have an entry point near their house and near their home. Now, in the same way, we are called to be keepers at home. And what I mean by that is, if you put all your work into something else and neglect the spiritual protection and provision of your own home, you have lost. You have lost. As a matter of fact, if we all would follow this example, now get to this right here is tremendous. If we would all follow this example of building the wall next to our own homes, I'm talking about reaching our own neighborhoods. I'm talking about going door knocking, and I'm convicted here because I've not been very good at this, and God's convicted me. But what I'm saying here, since I'm applying this to soul winning, one of the greatest things that you could do is get your family involved with you, point number 5, last one this morning, and go door knocking around your own home. Because let me tell you something, if you have unsaved neighbors, that might affect your children somewhere down the road. Amen. And what I mean that the work of God begins at home, I'm saying stay at home and make sure your own family is secure, make sure your neighborhood has been knocked, and go build the wall around your house. One of the many things that I'm going to give to you in this soul winning ministry is what I call neighborhood Bible clubs. It's one of many ministries that I'm going to give to you. And what that is that somebody would be willing to step up and say, "Wait a minute, I'll host a neighborhood Bible club." And we bring in a Nathan Foran. I'm offering him here. I'm telling you, if he's here, he's going to do it. Amen. We bring him in. He does animal balloons. Yes, sir. I like that. Good. He brings in these animal balloons. We try to knock doors in your neighborhood. Have a neighborhood Bible club. Have a neighborhood Bible study, to where you take the Sunday school lesson that you learn on Sunday, but yet maybe on Thursday night, you knock your neighborhood. They may never come to church, but they might come to your house for donuts. And you sit there as an adult and you reteach the lesson that somebody taught you last Sunday. And you train your own neighborhood. By the way, if one neighbor shows up, it's worth it. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying the work of God starts and begins at home. Don't neglect your home. Don't neglect your house. Let me say something to you. And I mean this. These bus ministries here, these bus routes, God bless them. And we're all for it. I want to see a day where we've got 50 to 100 buses running. You say you're crazy. Then just let me think crazy, folks. I mean, I want more, don't you? I want more. I really do. But if there's any bus captain neglecting his own neighborhood, he's a hypocrite. It's awful quiet. If you get up and you go knock on doors, but you don't knock your neighborhood, you're a hypocrite, sir. So am I, if I don't do it either. And I remind you, I'm convicted. I'm cut. I need to do a better job in my neighborhood. How dare we reach somebody else's neighborhood and we'll not lift a finger in our own? Anybody with me? Anybody with me? You know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? It starts at home. It starts at home. It starts at home. Number two tonight. This is really number seven under the principles, but just for our following tonight, number two. Everyone can give their best effort. Everyone can give their best effort. You know what's interesting as you read down through this chapter? It's interesting that there's only one person that's mentioned what I'm about to show you. It's found in verse number 20. Look at it. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, what's that next word? Earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall under the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. The only time that you will find the word earnestly in chapter 3 is right there. In other words, we have people repairing the wall. Thank God for it. They repaired that piece. Thank God for it. They repaired that piece. Thank God for it. But when you come to verse 20, it says he repaired it earnestly. You know that word earnestly there, what a great word it is. What this goes to show is this. The Lord made special note of this man. He was not only doing the work, he was putting his whole heart into it. This is powerful here. By the way, is it good for you to do what God wants you to do, whether you feel like doing it or not? Sure, sure. And I'm not saying that the others were doing that. I'm not saying that at all. It might be that the other ones were earnest as well. I don't know. But God, for some reason, mentions Baruch as the only one who repaired his peace earnestly. Earnestly. His whole heart. And what I'm saying to you is here. It is good to do what God wants you to do out of duty. But God wants you to get so involved in it that you want to do it. You can't help but do it. Your heart's in it. See, this is what God wants. You know, in the same way, the Lord, now get this, the Lord wants us not only to serve Him. Does He want us to serve Him? Yes. But He doesn't just want us to serve Him. He wants us to earnestly serve Him. He wants us to serve Him by giving Him everything we have, our very best efforts. Let me ask you a question. Does He not deserve your best? Sure He does. In other words, He wants you to give and put your whole heart into it. You know, it is sad. It's sad. Now, I'm just speaking in summary terms here. I'm just speaking in just kind of paraphrasing, just in general here. But it is a sad day when God's work gets the leftovers. Do you understand what I mean by that? If there's nothing else going on, we'll get involved. If there's no ball game, we'll come. If we don't have practice, we'll come to soul winning. If we don't have this, then we'll think about coming and helping you spread the gospel. Leftovers. That's not of God. And I'm going to tell you something. And listen to me closely, folks. Because in your heart, you know I'm telling you the truth. God, the last time I checked, wants to be preeminent in our life. The last time I checked, it ought to be flip-flopped and said, wait a minute, if there's a conflict, we're going to go with God's work, not man's work. Amen. Now, this is something that I'm trying to help everybody to see. There's so many things that call for our attention. Am I right or wrong? So many things that call for our attention. And where we mess up, notice I say we. I'm not saying you. I'm saying we. I'm guilty of this. We mess up when we allow something to take the place of the someone who is Jesus Christ. And we have swallowed a pill, a lie that says, well, God understands. God understands I don't have time for that. I don't have time if I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I don't have time for that. Well, what you need to do is cut out some of this, 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 and this. Put God first, and God will help you with everything else. Amen. Now, this is the truth. God wants to be first place. And what I'm saying in this, everybody, you can give your best to God. You can do that. You can make a decision that God's going to get the best of you. You're going to give your best effort to Him. You will put Him first. You will earnestly serve God. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what our children need. That's what our grandchildren needs. That's what this area needs. That's what this world needs. It needs God's children who say, wait a minute, that's not going to come first. That's not going to come first. That's not going to come first. I don't care what he says, she says, or she thinks, or he thinks. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Me and my family are going to serve God. We're going to serve Him together as a family. We're going to knock doors. We're going to reach people. We're going to try to reach our neighborhood. We're going to use what God's given us. We're going to try to reach this lost and dying world. Question. You are giving yourself earnestly to something. What is it? What is it? You're giving your heart to something or someone in this world. What are you giving it to? What I'm saying is this. If you give your whole heart to anything less than the will and work of God, it is wasted. It's wasted. But if you give it to God, lock, stock, and barrel, God will use it and help reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, duties never conflict. Duties never conflict. Never. Never. And I'm saying here that everybody can give their best effort. Galatians 4:18, but it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Not only when I'm present with you. Listen to this verse, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, get this, in the grave, whither thou goest. Whither thou goest. I had a funeral this week, and Miss Watts is here, and Mr. Keith is here. And I'm not trying to bring up anything that would be disturbing to you, but God used the funeral service for Mr. Jeter Watson in my life. He used it. Began to speak to me. There's a dear man who's with Jesus right now. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it's in the end? He's with the Lord. But here's what God began to speak to me about. Jody, time is absolutely flying by. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your wife? What are you doing with your children? What are you doing trying to reach other people? We can all look back, all of us, maybe not the kids who are sitting here, they're like, good, and I don't know what he's talking about. These days are dragging by for me. Just like I used to think when I'd hear somebody older say that. But you understand what I'm saying? Typically an adult can look back and say, where in the world is the time gone? Anybody identify with what I'm saying? Don't waste your life. Greatest thing you can give your life to is the work of God. That's it. That's it. Find your section of the wall that we'll share with you later on. Find it and put your whole heart into it. Time's flying by. What have you done for Jesus? And have you done it with all of your heart? That's number two tonight. Number three tonight, work where the Lord has you. Work where He has you already. Let me show you what I mean by this. If you'll notice the priest in verse number one, what gate did they repair? The sheep gate. Question, what was their job? What was one of the things they did? They sacrificed the lambs, didn't they? So God put them to work right where He had them. You see what I'm saying?
Then in verse number 26, you see the Nethinims. Now, scholars believe that the Nethinims were descendants of the Gibeonites. Remember, the Gibeonites were the ones who deceived the Israelites into letting them stay in the land. Remember that in the book of Joshua? And one of the things that Joshua gave them to do to curse them, not really to curse them, but just to put them in servitude, he gave them to be drawers of water. They were to be carriers of water. And yet in verse number 26, we see them repairing the water gate. Not repairing it because it needed no repairs. But building right there at the water gate. Now this is tremendous. Now stay with me here. The men of Jericho in verse number 2 worked on the north wall. What's significant about that? What's significant is that Jericho was north of Jerusalem. Now what am I saying here? This goes to show that Nehemiah organized this work. God organized it through him in such a way that he put them to work right where the Lord had already placed them. The water carriers, let them work near the water gate. The priest, let them work near the sheep gate. Hey, these people here, the men from the north, let them work on the northern part. Do you see this? And here's the beautiful picture that I'm trying to get you to see in this. In the same way, now get this is so vital here. The Lord has placed each one of his children strategically, not only in his body, but in the community, in a different place, right where he wants them. And wherever he has you, he wants you to build the wall right there. Let me show you what I'm talking about. There are gifts you have, there are talents you have that the Lord has given you. He has given you these in order to help reach other people for his glory. Therefore, get this. If he's made you a veteran, you're a veteran with a purpose. Your purpose is not to honor your country. It is, and praise God, we are American. Amen. But that's not your purpose. God has blessed you to still be alive as a veteran for a reason. And that is not to give glory to the flag. It's to give glory to God and help reach other veterans who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm saying, whether he's made you a businessman, do you realize that if you own your own business, that you have the right to put out any kind of literature you want as long as you don't try to force it on people? It's time that people who own their own business will step up and say, wait a minute, I will call a Bible study at my business. I can't force it, but if they want to come, we'll have it at lunch period, and I'm going to share my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying, wherever God has you, use your ability for God. Whether you're a housewife, a teacher, a student, a contractor, a plumber, an electrician, a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, on and on we could go. God has gifted you in so many things, and he's gifted you in that area because he has other people who he wants you to reach with the influence he's given you. Do you see what I'm saying? Work where he has you. Work where he has you already. For instance, I shared this morning, but one thing that he's given me is my athletic ability. See, I've never seen it. You probably won't see it now either. But God's challenged me to put on a baseball camp and get some of these college baseball players who played former college ball that's in our church. We come together and have a baseball camp. I had a young man visiting in our church this morning. He's in my family. And he's kind of in and out of church, but he was here this morning. And he came up to me after the service. He said, Jody, he said, I want you to know something. He said, if you can use me in that ball camp, I'll help you. I'll help you. What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, God has blessed you for a reason. He wants you to work where you are. Now, what's he made you? What's he given you? For instance, we have widows in our church. And God bless every one of them. I want to take care of you, help you as much as we can. But here's my question. Could you imagine, dear lady, if your husband is now with the Lord, could you imagine being an unsaved lady who had an unsaved husband pass away and you have no hope?
What am I saying? Who's the greatest person to reach a widow? A widow. Who's the greatest person to reach somebody who's had a tragedy in her life? Somebody who's had a tragedy in their life. Who's the greatest person to reach somebody who's just been diagnosed with cancer? Somebody who's been through cancer. But who can take them and point them to Jesus Christ? And so let me tell you, I've been where you are. I know what you're going through. But let me tell you what got me through. It was God. The Lord's my Savior. And at times when I heard that C word and it scared me literally to death, and I felt all alone, God brought me back to the point to where I realized I'm not alone. He's with me. What am I saying? I'm saying wherever God has placed you, whatever He's given you to do, whatever gifts He's given you, whatever burdens He's allowed to come in your life, don't look at it as what's He doing to me. Wait a minute. Look at it as what's He trying to do for me, and what can He use this to reach somebody else with? Are you following what I'm trying to preach to you folks? God has gifted you and put you in His body. If He's made you a hand, do the work of a hand. If He's made you a foot, do the work of a foot. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can read it later. If He's made you a tongue, do the work of a tongue. We have a lot of those, don't we? If He's made you an ear, do the work of an ear. An eye, do the work of an eye. I'm saying it's God's will. It's a picture of the wall. Don't do that part, that part, that part. No, what's the one part God has given you? Wait a minute, what am I going through? Well, I just lost my husband. Wait a minute, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. Wait a minute, I just lost my son. Wait a minute, what about this? I can shoot a basketball. Believe it or not, you could lead somebody to Christ using that ability. There are boys and girls who would come, watch you shoot, and teach them to shoot, and then set them down and say, let me tell you why I can shoot. Jesus Christ has given me the ability to use my hands. And here's how you can know Him as your Savior. We've got to learn to think outside the box. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't limit God. God has gifted you in a way that He wants to use you right where you're at. Then, number four tonight, organization, harmony, and continuity are key elements in the work of God. Let me say it again. Organization, harmony, and continuity. Continuity means an uninterrupted flow, a continuous action, linked so there's no breaks. Beautiful word. These are key elements in the work of God. Now, throughout this chapter, we see these three key elements on display. They were extremely organized by Nehemiah to work just on their part of the wall. They were in harmony with one another because there's not one time mentioned anything concerning jealousy, envy, or strife. Not one time. Not one time. And they were in continuity because throughout the scripture, throughout chapter 3, you can read it later, how many times it says, next unto him repaired, and after him repaired, and next unto him repaired, and after him repaired. This goes to show that when the work of God is organized and in harmony, and everybody working together for a common cause, the glory of God, the work of God can be done. It can be. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. That's why it's not appropriate for me to get up here and say, okay, let's just all get out and do something this week. No. It's got to be organized. Let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, let's do this. Find your part of the wall. And when you find your part of the wall, you work in harmony with this person. Don't be jealous that he got that part and you're stuck with this part. Realize that God gave you this part, and this part's as important as that part is. Work in harmony, work in continuity, work in an organizational manner. And when you have these three things working hand in hand, there's no telling what will happen for the glory of God. The work of God in this church is to be organized under the leadership of the pastor. He's to have an approach to reaching people in the way that God wants them to be reached. And at the same time, the workers must be in harmony and continuity with one another to help make sure the work is not only started, but that it's completed. You know, the same pastor scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, can also show this point. Philippians 1:27 says this. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs.
get this, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. God wants His children not to stand in envy of one another, not to be jealous of that person, not to be envious of this person, not to say, wait a minute, she can sing, hey, he can sing, I can't do that. God didn't let you do that, but He gave you something the more likely the person that can sing can't do. And He's gifted you to reach those kind of people, and He's gifted them to reach other kind of people. And I'm saying, as you work together in harmony and organization and continuity, God working us together, it's a spiritual picture of just all of us getting behind a large boulder and working together, trying to get it rolling and keep it pushing and keep going until it's not done. That's how God's work is to be done, folks. God wants us to work it this way. Maybe you've never heard this, but geese often cover thousands of miles before reaching their destination by flying in the V formation. Have y'all ever seen that? Really seen it, okay? Let me give you some facts about their flight patterns. I'm talking about flying in a V. By flying that way, the members of the flock create an upward air current for one another. And it says right here that by flying in the V formation, the whole flock gets 71% greater flying range than if one goose was flying by itself. And when one, this is great. When one goose gets sick or wounded, two fall out of formation with it and follow it down to help and protect it, and stay with it until it's able to fly again. Don't tell me there's no God, folks. Honestly, the geese in the rear of the formation are the ones who do the honking. If you ever seen them flying from a distance, you're honk, 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 whatever. It's not the ones in the front doing that. If y'all like to hear me do that again, would you raise your hand? I'm killing those who are listening live. I apologize for that. When you hear the honking, it's not the ones in the front, it's the ones in the back. You know what they're saying? I'm behind you. I'm following. Don't quit. You know what we need in this church? We need some lay people. We need some men and ladies who get in the work of God. And every now and then call their pastor. And so I want to tell you something, I'm behind you. Stay with it. Stay with it. What am I saying? Don't you think the devil's attacking me? Sure he is. He hates me. I've got news for him, I hate him too. You better hate him too or you have trouble. And all I'm saying to you, these geese in the back will honk. It's their way of announcing that they're following and everything is going just fine back here. Just keep it up. That's great. The repeated honks encourage those in front to stay with it. This is a great picture of them working together. Another picture of what I'm trying to get across your organization, harmony, and continuity is the Olympic relay team. Does it take every one of them doing their part? Does it take harmony? Does it take continuity? Sure it does. If they drop the baton, it's over, folks. They might as well quit. It takes them working together, and whenever they're running around that track, this other guy, he looks back and he sees it and he knows exactly when to start. He's running, holds his hand back, and boom, there he goes. Same way with the swimming relay team. 0.0 seconds many times means the difference between gold and silver medals and bronze and no medal at all. And what could it be but just that slight discontinuity that kept them from winning the medal? What am I saying? I'm saying God did not put you in His body to be jealous of somebody else. God put you in His body to see your important part and work together with that part and see your whole working together doing your part. And as the body works together, everything's functioning right and things can get done for the glory of God. Then lesson number 5 tonight, really lesson 10 overall, but lesson 5 tonight. And I've already said this over and over again, but I'm going to emphasize it here. Every part of the wall is important. Every part of it. Now it's extremely important to remember this, that in order for the city to be protected, see the wall is for protection and for separation, but for protection. In order for the city to be protected, the entire wall had to be constructed around the city. In other words, if everybody did their part, now get this, I said this morning too, but if everybody did their part, but one person or group decided not to work, then their section of the wall would be the weak point.
and would be the point where the enemy would attack the city and get inside. Therefore, it was important for every person and every group to take their job seriously, even if it was not one of the most appealing jobs, such as the dung gate. Now, we went over the dung gate last week. What was the dung gate a picture of? Of getting the filth out of your life, remember? But let me ask you a question. Do you think there might have been a possibility? I'm not saying there was, but do you think there might have been a potential possibility there that somebody said, "You're going to get me to build what? The dung gate? Why can't I be the sheep gate? Wait a minute. If I have to build the dung gate, you can just forget it. I'm not doing it." Still happening in churches. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Even though it was not lovely work, even though it wasn't work that somebody, I'm sure there wasn't a line created saying, I want the dung gate, give me the dung gate. I doubt it. Even though it was a job that maybe nobody was thrilled to get it, it was extremely important to the protection of the city. Do you see that? In the same way, there are no unimportant jobs in the work of God, none. There may be jobs that are less attractive, but all are extremely important. For instance, here's a job. Maybe you never thought that this helps reach people, but cleaning the restrooms in our church. We have a great custodial staff here. God bless them. They do an outstanding job. They really do. You say cleaning restrooms is a way to reach people? Yes. Question. If you have a newborn baby or you have a child 5 years old and you walk into this church and your little boy, your little girl says, "I got to go to the bathroom." And you take them into a bathroom and it is filthy. Will you ever come back to this church? Will you? Yes or no, folks? No. But if that person's lost and sees a clean bathroom, they may not get saved that service. But at least they weren't offended with the bathrooms. So they might come back during the big day. And they might walk the aisle. You say, "Jody, does it work that way?" Yes, it works that way. There are no unimportant jobs in the work of God. None. It's all important. Every last stitch of it. God has given you what He wants you to do for a purpose. We must understand whatever the Lord has given us to do in His work is vitally important, get this, to Him and what He's trying to do to bring glory and honor to Himself. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God," every bit of it. In this chapter, we see the work of God put on display for our attention and admonition. In it, we have seen the purpose of the work of God, which is His glory and His praise. We've noticed the pictures in the work of God, which shows us some great truths. We've looked at the principles all day long today for the work of God that encourages all of God's children to get involved right where they're at, use the gifts God's given them, and be open that if God will show you what part of the wall He wants you to work at, you'll work at it. And if this church will take heed, now get this, folks, if this church will take heed to this chapter's teaching, if it will latch on to what this chapter's teaching, there is absolutely, listen to me, there's absolutely no telling what can be done for the glory of God in this church. No telling what can happen here. And let's allow, get this, the Lord to fully exalt us as individuals and as a church to bring glory to Himself in a lost and dying world. Wouldn't you like to see what only God can do? Wouldn't you like to see what only He is wanting? I want Him to have free reign here in such a way that it brings glory to Him, honor to Him. People walking the aisle, people being baptized, people joining the church, people going out into mission work. I'm talking about reaching people here and there and everywhere. And this person saying, "God's gifted me in this. Can I use this? Can I do something here?" I'm talking about do your work right where God's placed you and help us build the wall for His glory. That's what it's about. And may the Lord help us all to get involved in the work of God. God's work, not our own. Amen. Let's bow our head together, please, and pray. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Your goodness to us.
We thank you for all that you've done for us. And I thank you for how you're obviously working in this church in such a wonderful way. Lord, we want more. God, we want more. Please take full control. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to play through softly. Let me deal with you right where you're at. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Are you in God's family? I don't want you to think about the work of God, except first of all, you think about the family of God. Are you in it? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you really been born again? If you died tonight, do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Is there one here tonight you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I will not embarrass you. But you say, Jody, please pray for me. I do not know for sure that heaven's my home. I don't know that. I do not know that. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand in the air, please? Anybody at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Now, let me ask you this question. Let me just deal with these principles that we've dealt with tonight. And that is, first of all, God's work begins at home. Have you been working at your house? Have you been working on your own family members? Have you been working in your neighborhood? Have you said, Jody, I'm convicted in this. I've not been doing an accurate job around my own house. It may be with your kids. It may be with your spouse. It may be with your neighbors. I don't know what it is, but you say, Jody, that point that God's work begins at home, God is speaking to me there. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Have you say, Jody, I want to be like Baruch. Baruch was the one that was mentioned that God allowed to say that he earnestly prepared his wall. He earnestly worked on it. And you say, Jody, I have a desire in my heart. God is speaking to me in this area. I want to be a Baruch. I just don't want to do the work of God. I want to do it with all my heart. I want to give God first place. I don't want anything or anybody else to take his place in my life. God knows my heart. I mean this. I want him to take first place. I want to work on it earnestly, put my whole heart into it. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, this is me. I want to be a Baruch. God bless you. Let me go on. Are you working where God has you? If you're a businessman, are you working with your coworkers? Are you working with your employees? Are you trying to reach them with the gospel? If you're an athlete, are you using it for the glory of God? If you're a teacher, are you using it for the glory of God? If you're a widow, are you trying to reach other widows with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Wherever he's placed you in his body, whatever he's gifted you to do, whatever burdens he's allowed to come in your heart, see it for what he sees it as, and that's an opportunity to reach a lost and dying world. Are you working where he has you? Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me, and I need to work where he has me. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. You say, this is me. God bless you. May the Lord bless you. I wonder. Organization, harmony, and continuity. It's what it takes in a marriage, by the way, because that's a work of God too. That's what it takes in this church. May the Lord help us to be organized in harmony and continuity here. Not jealous of each other, but working together. And maybe there's somebody say, Jody, I need the Lord to speak to me. I've been allowing the devil to keep me not working because I feel like what I can do is not really important. And I don't see the importance of it, but I've been reminded tonight that it is important what God's given me. Would you pray for me that I'll stop listening to the devil's lies and trust the Lord and get busy with what he's given me to do? Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. May the Lord help you with this. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it. Help these who have responded by an uplifted hand to respond by walking the aisle, coming and praying tonight. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, if you raised your hand, I'm speaking to you. Why don't you leave your place? Come to this altar right now, please. As he sings, why don't you come?
In the harvest field now ripen, there's the work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor.
Amen. There's still time for you. Still time.
Sing that second verse together, Brother Gary.
Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great
if God is in it,
and He'll not forget His own. Little is much
when God is in it.
Labor not
for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you'll go in Jesus' name.
We're still dealing with folks. I want you to look this way, please. In the very near future, I'm going to be sharing what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for the soul-winning ministries of this church. And I can promise you one thing. There's something in that ministry that you can do. Something. And all I want you to do is be willing. And if you've made a commitment, I want you to make this. If you haven't, I encourage you to make it. God, if you'll show me what part of the wall you want me to build, I'll build it. I don't know if you can see what I see, but I see something big. But it takes us all coming together, doing our part. And I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll get involved. I challenge you with this question. I'm going to ask Ethan and Allison if they wouldn't mind just to come right here just a moment. But I want to challenge you with this question. If the Lord called you home today, do you have any regrets? Would you wish you'd have done more? Will you? Then why wish it, and why not start doing it? You see what I'm saying? May the Lord help us. Ethan and Allison, this is their last service with us. They're mad at me. They're leaving the church. No, I'm just kidding with you. They are moving to Florida, getting out of God's will, going down there. No, they're trying to follow the Lord. I want to have special prayer with them. And we love you. You know that. We're here for you. And you call me if you ever need me. Don't ask me to come down there, but if you call me, no, I'm just kidding with you. It's not an easy thing, is it? If you're in the will of God, it's the best thing for you. If you're in the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
If you're in the will of God now, I can't answer that for you. But if you are, that's the best thing for you. No doubt about it. We're going to pray with you in just a moment. I'm going to take care of this right here, right now. Very good. Miss Sarber, if you wouldn't mind to stand, please. If you wouldn't mind doing that. Miss Judy standing with you. You have accepted Christ as your Savior. This has happened before. She desires membership in our church by baptism. We're getting ready to have a baptismal service in the very near future. It'll be in the bulletin, okay? So just kind of pay attention to that. What's the pleasure of the church in this? Could I get a motion? Brother Leroy, Brother Nathan, second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. All opposed, same sign. So carry. God bless you. We're glad you're here. Amen. Now what I want to do, I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to ask all of our staff men, if you wouldn't mind, and all the staff ladies. That's Mr. John, Miss Naomi, Miss Seaman, my wife, Bob, and Miss Lindsay. I'm going to ask Mrs. Lashley as well to come. I would ask preacher, but preacher's laying out of church. No, I'm just kidding. He's preaching at Double Springs. And we're just going to gather around them here, and this will be our closing prayer, okay? And I'm going to ask them, after we pray, if you all wouldn't mind, just to kind of go back into the lobby and let our people say goodbye to you for a little while. And I remind you, if you are a first-time guest, please take your card by the Welcome Center, drop it off. We've got a special gift for you. Okay? Very, very good. I'm going to pray out loud, and I want you to pray and ask God to bless them. And our staff will gather around them here, and you all just pray silently there as I pray out loud. Okay? Our Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this service and what you've done. Thank you for this day and how it's been a blessing. I thank you, Lord, for Ethan and Allison. What a precious couple they are. Pray for their families that you'll bless them. Ask God that you help them. Encourage them, strengthen them. And I pray for them as they move to Florida that you'll get them into a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And I pray that they'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If it be your will, bring them back to be with us sometime. But Lord, that's in your hands. And if we never see them again here, Lord, we're thankful that we'll see them again there.
What a blessing that is. We love you. We thank you for loving us. Bless this young couple, I pray. Please help them and strengthen them and guide them, direct them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to remain right there just a moment. Let them get out and let me get back through here, and you are dismissed, okay? Yes. All the junior campers.